Okay, we've been looking at various ways that God speaks to his people, as shown in Scripture. And our purpose in doing so is to grow in both our experience and our confidence in hearing and understanding the Lord's voice in our daily lives. You know, the Lord wants to speak to us. We saw, you know, the Lord has been, he spoke in the beginning, he'll be speaking at the end, and he speaks at every point in between. Now, we said that some practical ways in growing in hearing God's voice is one of the first of those is to become an inquirer. You know, God wants us to be inquirers. He wants us to ask and to seek and to knock. And there's several ways that we can practically do that. The first is that, you know, as you read the scripture, ask the Lord to explain things you don't understand. You know, reading the scripture, if it's alive and active, it should be a two-way kind of thing. It's not just us reading, it's the Lord speaking to us through it. And he wants us to understand it. Now, how many times have, you know, we read the scripture and we wonder, what in the world does that mean? Well, what we should do when that happens is ask the Lord, what do you mean by this? What should I know about this? And you know, he will over time give you the answer to the question, you know, because his promise is that if we ask, that we will receive. If we seek, we will find. And so that's just really important to interact, practice interacting with the Lord as we read the word. It's not a one-way thing, it's a two-way thing. The second that what practical way of inquiring of the Lord is just to get in the habit of asking him something before you go to bed at night. You know, if you just got a question on your heart, or you know, you're curious about something, or you want to be led in a certain way, or you want to understand how it is that he's leading, just ask a question. You know, it's amazing. You know, the Lord, he speaks to us in our dreams, but he also just, you know, he works in the midst of our subconscious mind. I mean, if we ask him a question before we go to sleep at night, you'll be amazed at how often you'll wake up in the morning, not necessarily with the answer to the question, but at least being led in the direction of the answer. Now, the most practical way to grow in hearing God's voice and understanding his voice, because really there's a two-part process to this, right? There's hearing and there's understanding. But the most practical way to do that is to minister his voice to others, is to become those who, you know, who hear and then minister the voice of the Lord. We said there's two main ways that we minister the voice of the Lord to others: prophetic ministry and prayer ministry. Now, we're going to look this morning starting with prophetic ministry. Now, Catherine and I, back in 1999, was the first time we were ever ministered to prophetically. Maybe a little, do you mind closing the door there? It was an interesting time for us. I mean, we were pretty active in ministry and really involved in the life of the church. Catherine read this book called by Rick Joyner called The Final Quest. It was the summer of 1999, and she handed it to me and said, "Gray, you need to read this, and because it's really interesting." And so I started reading it, and I stayed up all night and read the whole thing. And it was really just kind of eye-opening in a lot of ways. I mean, there's, you know, today if I look back on it, there's probably some things I not, wouldn't necessarily agree with, but it was, you know, it's interesting how the Lord uses things to further us in our relationship with him. I mean, because one of the great things I love about God is that the way that he deals with people, he always deals with us where we're at, right? With the purpose of progressing us further in our relationship with him and to conforming us to the image of his son. Well, so after I finished reading this book, I got to the back and I was curious about this person who wrote it, and I looked up, you know, online. I think that was probably back in the dial-up days. And I found out that it was a ministry based in Charlotte. And I looked at the website, and it turned out they were having a seminar, you know, like a weekend conference down in Jacksonville, coming up in October. This was probably August. And you know, and I noticed that one of the speakers was Jack Deere. Now, Jack Deere had spoken at St. Andrews like a year or so before that. And I really liked him. I mean, super brilliant biblical scholar who'd been touched by the Holy Spirit, and you know, wrote a couple of books on about hearing the voice of God and being surprised by the presence of God's power. And so I figured, well, you know, if Jack Deere, if you want to be there, you know, It's not too wacky. It's got to be good. It's going to be solid biblical stuff. So Catherine and I signed up, and we went down to the conference, and it was in October down in Jacksonville. And we got there in the afternoon, and we went to register, and the meetings were going to start the next day. And when we were registering, they said, "Do you want to sign up for prophetic ministry?" And we'd never even one of us ever even heard of prophetic ministry, much less ever had it done for us. And so we figured, okay, we're here. We'll just get the full effect. We'll go ahead and sign up. So we signed up for a time. It was in the next afternoon, and so we talked about it a little bit that night, and we were talking about it the next morning before we went to the meeting. And Catherine was just saying, I just really need to know from the Lord that this is real. And she that next morning she said, "Gray, have you this the Lord put this word on my heart. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What does that mean anything to you? I just can't stop thinking about it." And so when I, let's just kind of see what happens. And so we went to the conference that day. It was amazing. I mean, the worship was off the chart good, and teaching was really good. And we went back that afternoon for our prophetic ministry time, whatever that was going to be. And so we got to the room. We went inside. And we were meeting with three people. It was a man and a woman. And yeah.
We got there, we realized that our name was the last one on the list.
Right. Yeah. We were the last group,
We were the
the
last
last people that were
people.
meeting with that group that day. And Catherine said, "Oh, first will be last, last will be first." And I thought, okay. And yeah. And so we went inside, and it was a man and a woman and a young girl being like a 12-year-old, maybe. And so they explained to us what they were going to do. They said, "We're just going to ask the Lord for words of encouragement for you, and then we'll just share with you what He says, and it's up to you to decide whether it's for you or to to judge it, and to take whatever you feel like is for you, and to leave behind whatever is not for you." And so they prayed, and they started ministering prophetically to us, and we'll talk about what that means. But as we were sitting there, I mean, Catherine and I were just totally blown away, because here's three total strangers, and they were completely reading our mail. I mean, they knew. It's like they knew us, and they were, speaking to our giftings, to things that have, happened to us in our life, and it was just like, whoa, how could this possibly be? Well, after 7 or 8 minutes of the man and the woman speaking to us, the little girl had never said anything. And they got to the end, and the man asked the girl, said, do you have anything for him?" And she said, "Well, I just have one thing for you." And she points to Catherine, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." And it's like, okay, this is real. This really is something. And so then, when we got back to Charleston, we got introduced to a Morningstar church that was in Somerville at the time, and one of the main guys from Morningstar was coming down to do a prophetic ministry training class there at that church. I think it was on Friday nights, and so we signed up to do that. We did that, like, and that was in November and December, and then it was, well, I'll just kind of finish the story. So in January, we were very encouraged, very intrigued, really, about how the Lord speaks and how He uses prophetic ministry to encourage people, because we were both extremely encouraged, strengthened in our faith by this experience of knowing that God knows us, and then Him speaking words of encouragement to us. And so we started going to the church up there in Somerville just for their Friday night meetings, and they used to have some of the young worship leaders, or worship folks, they really weren't even leaders at the time, they were in the ministry school, would come down once a month and do the Friday night meetings. John Mark McMillan was one of them. I mean, Sarah, that was before they were married. I mean, he was a kid. I mean, he was like 18. I can't remember if the Helsers were there at the beginning, but we met them right afterwards. But they were all part of that group. I mean, Josh Baldwin. I mean, it was all like these people who are now famous worship leaders and music people in the Christian music world. And so anyway, when a group of them came down in January, they all stayed with us at our house because we had a big enough place to keep them all. And Catherine and I were just so excited about how on fire for the Lord these young people were. And their worship, the way that they worshiped with abandon, when they were leading worship at the meeting, and just their hearts. I mean, they were just so, just so pure. And so after the January meeting, they had stayed with us, and we were real excited. And Catherine and I started talking about how we, that was on a Friday night. On Saturday, they left, and we were Catherine and I were talking. We said, oh my gosh, what if we tried to create a place here in Mount Pleasant where young people could come and worship like this? I mean, wouldn't it be awesome? And so we were kind of thinking about, well, what could we do? And so well, we had at the office at the time, we had this room that was just a storage room, and I was thinking, okay, maybe we could convert that into a meeting space. And invite these folks down and just have a place where young people could come and worship. And so I said, well, when I get to the office Monday morning, I'll get the plans out and we'll kind of work it out and see if it can work out. Well, the next day we were going that, which is Sunday, was Sunday. That was Saturday. On Sunday, the next day was the day of the Super Bowl. And some friends of ours had invited us over for dinner. In fact, it was Martha McCann, who's usually here. Martha Davis, yeah, she was Martha McCann at the time, and so we went over to their house, and we were having dinner, dinner got over, and Martha just said, hey, y'all, before that we watch the game, before the game starts, I got to tell you about the strangest vision I had. She said, I saw young people worshiping in your office building, and I thought. What, because we hadn't even talked to her about it. I mean, she didn't know anything about it. And the thing is, Martha, we'd known Martha a long time. She had never even used that language before of I had a vision. I mean, it's like, but she, but that was it. Well, so, and just things just went on, went on from there. But it's just amazing how the Lord speaks to us. We talk about hearing the voice of the Lord. Oftentimes, we hear his voice through other people, or, and so that's what. That's what ministering prophetically. Now she didn't know she was ministering prophetically to us, but she was. I mean, she was hearing the voice of the Lord. She was seeing something from him. Remember last time we talked about one of the ways that he speaks is in visions. He speaks in dreams. He speaks in impressions. He speaks in a small internal voice. And there's a lot of different ways that the Lord speaks. And it's all to, in order to to encourage us and to strengthen us in our faith. And so. That was kind of our introduction into prophetic ministry, and that was January and April. It's very clear. Again, I could go on with the story, but that we were supposed to, be starting a church, and that's when we started. DaySpring was in April of 2000, and so all that happened really quickly. But so anyway, to minister prophetically is to hear the voice of the Lord with. For another person, okay? Because minister prophetically is not just to hear the, it's not about hearing God for yourself. It's about hearing God for the sake of another person, and then speaking what you hear for one of three purposes. And those three purposes, which are scripturally given, it's in 1 Corinthians 14:3, which is on the top of your handout. It says, "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." All right, so when we minister prophetically, we're doing so for one of three purposes. All right, to strengthen, to encourage, or to comfort. All right, now, does somebody have to be a prophet, and I say that in quotes, in order to minister prophetically to another person? Do you have to be a prophet in order to prophesy?
No.
No, of course not. For the next passage, 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can what? All. Prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. So, everyone in Christ, we've talked about this over and over again. What identifies us as a person in Christ? What's the only identity marker of being in Christ? The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is the only identity marker of being a Christian. Why? Because in the moment we confess our faith in Christ and become born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our inner being. Okay, so we all have the indwelling personal presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And that means that everyone in Christ can hear the voice of the Lord and then can minister that voice to others. If you're a Christian, and you have the Holy, therefore you have the Holy Spirit, therefore you can hear God's voice, and therefore you can minister that voice to others. That's why it says you can all prophesy. Now we'll look at the context of this passage in just a minute, of that 1431. And in fact, not only can we do it, we are strongly encouraged to minister prophetically to others. The next passage, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. All right, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, the word eagerly here means to pursue with vigor, to eagerly desire, to pursue with vigor the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, that word eagerly can also be translated to lust after. I mean, it was that to hunger for it, just to have a desire, a driving desire for this gift of this, all the gifts of the Spirit, but especially prophecy. All right, so we're called to persistently pursue the voice of God for the sake of others, and that's what we're doing when we're prophesying. We're pursuing the voice of God for the sake of others. Now, why are we? Why is especially prophecy the one, singled out as the one that's the one that we're above all supposed to eagerly desire? It's because that one of our main ministries in the body of Christ and to those outside the body of Christ is to be an encourager. Look at the next passage, Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another, how often? Daily. As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And then Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the closer we get to the coming, the return of Christ, the closer, the more we are to be encouraging one another. We are to be encouraging one another daily, but all the more as we see the day approaching. As the circumstances in the world start spinning off the rails, not that that's happening right now, we want to especially minister encouragement to one another. And the thing is, people need to be encouraged. The ruler of this fallen world is constantly trying to discourage people and to deceive people.
Yes.
And we can counteract his purpose
Perfect.
and break his power. How? By ministering the voice of the Lord prophetically to those around us. Now many have a misconception about prophetic words. And if you ask most Christians, probably, if they ask them what a prophetic word is, they would say that it's about predicting the future. Okay? But in the context of our new covenant relationship with God, prophecy is not about predicting the future. Even in the Old Testament, only a small fraction of the of prophetic utterances recorded in the Old Testament have to do with predicting the future. For us as the people of Jesus, we minister prophetically the voice of the Lord for three purposes. That's our guiding principle in doing this. To strengthen, which sometimes is translated edify. Okay, to edify means to build people up. How much is the world trying to tear people down? And how powerful are our words, especially as Christians? Our words have power because of the power that resides in us. And our words are powerful, can be powerful for tearing down, but there's there but they're the purpose of the power is so that they'll be powerful for building people up. That's what, you know, that's what strengthening is build them up. So we want to build people up. We want to encourage them. We want our words to be comforting to them. Okay. So that's our primary guideline when we're ministering prophetically is to strengthen, to encourage, and to comfort. That's really the only guideline that we have to follow when ministering the voice of the Lord. So if you feel like you've heard something, Lord, for somebody else, and you're about to give it to them, ask yourself the question: is this strengthening? Is it encouraging? Is it comforting? If it's not one of those three things, we're supposed to keep our mouth shut. Okay, don't say anything. And you know, that doesn't mean the Lord doesn't show you stuff that may not be one of those things. But usually, when that happens, it's for the purpose of prayer to pray for them. And we'll talk about that too, because you know, the other way that we minister the voice of the Lord is through the prayer ministry. And prayer, you know, prayer and prophetic ministry are really closely linked together, okay? Because both involve hearing the voice of the Lord. And then just what do we do with it after that? You know, how do we minister that what we're hearing to others? Okay, is one's prophetic, one's prayer. All right. So let me, you know, so when we're ministering prophetically to somebody, do we call out their sins?
No.
No, I mean sometimes you'll see when you're praying for somebody else. You might see it, know it in the natural, but sometimes the Lord will show you, okay, this person is involved in this thing that's keeping them in bondage. But you're not supposed to call them out because that's not strengthening or encouraging or comforting. You know, if the Lord shows you that, then start praying for that person in that area. Okay, that's it. You know, he's showing you for a reason, but the reason is not to prophesy that to them. Okay. Or to tell other people, right? Right. Just, yeah. All right. So when we're ministering prophetically to people, do we predict the future for them? No. We strengthen, encourage, and comfort. All right. Now, the place where we should all be trained and equipped to minister prophetically is the church. You know, since we can all prophesy, then we should all be trained and equipped to do so, right? You know, it's a and there's only one place in the whole New Testament which gives a description of what a church meeting was like in the early church. Okay, only one place in the New Testament that describes a meeting of the church in the New Testament, and it's 1 Corinthians 14. That's you'll notice how many of these passages come out of that chapter. Okay, why? Because Paul's having to correct them. For doing some things improperly, but in the midst of correcting them, he's showing us, you know, what is a proper that what is proper for a meeting of the body of the church. Okay, and so let's just look at the next passage, 1 Corinthians 14, 26. It's on the bottom of the first page, which says, Susie Lee, you got it there?
Yeah.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 26. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All right, so we talked about this before when we were finishing up our last course. It might have been the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit course. But, you know, what this says is everybody is a participant in a church meeting, but not just participating in the activity, but participating in the leadership of a church meeting. When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. That's the overriding guideline, okay? Everything that should be done when we come together as the Christians is for the purpose of edifying the church, of building the church up, of strengthening the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. All right. So this passage describes a church meeting where everyone is flowing in ministry, okay, and all participate in ministry. Now, we quoted that verse 31, so that all may prophesy. But here, I want to focus on the last part of the sentence. So look at verse 31 again. It says, "For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged." All right. So all can prophesy. Why? Why is it that we're prophesying? Why can all prophesy in a church meeting? So that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. All right. So to encourage one another is why we do prophecy. So that makes sense. You know, we prophesy in the church so that everyone in the church is encouraged by the prophetic word. But this also says that everyone is instructed, for you can all prophesy so that everyone may be instructed. Now, what does that mean? Now, I don't know of a single passage in in the New Testament that says that the purpose of prophecy is to teach by it. So we don't prophesy to people in order to teach them, okay? That's not what this is saying. That's not what, there's no place where we're told we prophesy to do what? Why do we prophesy? To strengthen, to encourage, and to comfort, okay? Not to teach. All right, so why then does this passage say that all can prophesy so that we all may be instructed? Who is it that's being instructed? Well, it's the ones, it's the ones who are ministering prophetically. You know, as we minister the voice of God to others, we learn how to hear and understand his voice. And we grow in our own confidence in knowing his voice. You know, how do we, so that's why I say that the best way to grow in hearing and understanding the voice of the Lord is to minister that voice to others. Why? Because as we do so, we are growing in our own understanding of how to hear and understand the voice of the Lord, and we're encouraged by doing so. Why? Because we witness the impact that voice has in the lives of others. As we minister prophetically to another person, we're instructed personally on how to hear and understand the voice of the Lord. And we grow in that. Yes, Isley.
But it says, though, you know, if it's not interpreted, you shouldn't do it. But if you're given something in a tongue, how do you know it's going to be interpreted or not? You don't know.
Okay, well, that's talking about speaking in tongues. Yeah, so speaking in tongues should never be done in a church meeting without an interpretation. How do you know what?
It's going to be.
Oh,
You give it.
well, you don't. You don't until afterwards. You know, so if somebody speaks in tongues and it's not interpreted, that should just fall to the ground. And if they do it again and it's not interpreted, somebody needs to speak to the person and say, "Hey, don't do that. Your word, it's not being interpreted." We had an older lady in our church who had been taught that this gets into a different section of 1 Corinthians 14, but she had been taught that you know that it had to be interpreted by another person. But actually, 1 Corinthians 14 doesn't say that. You can give a tongue and interpret it yourself. And she said, "Oh my gosh, I never knew that." So she, you know, and she didn't do it that much, but when she did, she would give the tongue and then interpret it, and it was like, wow, you could feel the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was powerful. But the point of all of this is that whatever happens in a church meeting needs to be intelligible. That's why Paul says, you know, I'd rather, you know, speak words, you know, and that's why prophecy is so valuable, is because you're speaking in a way that's intelligible to everyone so that everybody can be encouraged. All right, but the point here is that you know, if we want to grow in hearing and understanding the voice of the Lord, we want to minister prophetically to others so that we can be instructed and do it. We learn by doing it. We grow by doing it. We grow in our ability to hear the voice of the Lord. And you know, and so you know, there's another you know, stream of thinking in the church about, okay, well, prophecy is only the province of certain, you know, a certain few gifted people, you know, but that's not what this says. This says, you know, to me, what this tells us is that every single person in the church should be trained and equipped on how to hear and minister the voice of the Lord. It's essential to our, you know, to our, to the well-being of the body of Christ, to the well-being of the church. That we all hear and minister the voice of the Lord to one another, but to do so properly. And to do so properly is what? Three things. Whatever you say, it's got to be encouraging, it's got to be strengthening, it's got to be comforting. If you stay within those guidelines, the Lord is going to be moving through it. If we get outside of those boundaries, then all of a sudden up it opens up, the human element. And we'll talk about this some more. See, the thing is, we're absolutely imperfect filters through whom the word of the Lord comes, right? Through whom the voice of the Lord comes. It's filtered through our soul. And so we'll see it in a few minutes. We hear in part, we prophesy in part, okay? And so what that means is sometimes we're not all, in fact, we're never going to get it perfect. All right. But people ask all the time, how do I know if it's the voice of the Lord or if it's just my own voice? And I said, well, sometimes you don't really know for sure. But the thing is, if you go by the boundaries, if you stay within the boundaries of strengthening, encouraging, and comfort, even if you're off by a little bit, you're not going to do any damage to the other person that you're speaking to. Okay, that's the thing. But what's going to happen is if you step out and just trust that what you're hearing is from the Lord and speak that to another person and you see that reaction in them, then that's going to encourage you and strengthen you, saying, wow, that really was the Lord. And it's going to make you a little bit more bold to speak next time. And then over time, you're going to learn. We remember last time we talked about that, growing and hearing the voice of the Lord is a matter of growing and understanding our own God language, the way that the Lord speaks to us individually. And as we minister what we feel like we're getting from Him to others, then we grow in our confidence in how to hear and understand the voice of the Lord.
Years ago, before the Lord really pulled me in, I went up for prayer, and this was in the old church, singing, and the format was different. We would go up to the rail and go off to the side, and there was this one woman that has had a particular gift in all the prayer prophecy, you name it. So I go up there and she just looked at me a minute and said, "You got a lot to work on." I mean, she never said it. I mean, that was the only thing she said. And so I mean, it wasn't that I knew that I was there to be encouraged or anything. What I needed was the truth. And she gave me the truth. And the Lord gave her the word because she looked at me and saw right through me. She said, "You have a lot of work to do." And so, I took that to heart. She prayed for me anyway, I think, but then I it just got me thinking that I needed to start somewhere. And that may have been.
So that's you're unique in that you were challenged by that. Okay, so some people would be offended by it actually probably, and that's I would say that's not an appropriate. I would so part of learning how to prophesy to others is how do you take what you feel like you're hearing. She heard clearly for you. You got a lot to work on. And so how would you take that and make it into a word that you feel like is encouraging and wouldn't have the possibility of being discouraging?
The Lord tailored it to me because
What?
I needed more of a direct response.
I'm just saying that if you're ministering prophetically to somebody, and you feel like you get that for somebody, you got a lot of work to do. What
To me.
what would be a good way to give that? What would be a good way to give that word? That's
Like,
right.
it's already like pursuing God, and they're doing everything, and they're checking all the boxes, and they're like, "Oh God, I got more
Like
work to
that.
do. I haven't checked enough boxes." But you could say, "I have a sense that the Lord wants to come alongside of you to help you work through some things that
That's
He
exactly
has
right.
before you."
Make it about what the Lord is doing. The Lord is going to, the Lord wants to work with you. To do some things, and you just
But that was. So it's a little bit
it
different.
is a little bit different.
Right.
It is a little bit different, but I'd say the same guidelines kind of apply, because when you're hearing from the Lord and you're speaking at somebody else, and so even in prayer ministry, we want to listen to the voice of the Lord and have Him guide us in how we pray for people, and just be careful about how we what we speak. And so ministering prophetically, we just want And so that's, that's kind of our purpose here this morning and in the next few weeks is, is just how do we do this biblically? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there's so much of the church is dead set against prophetic utterance at all. I mean, first of all, you have a whole section of the church that believes that, the gifts, that you're right, it's no longer there. Others who have, who are just, yeah, I believe it's true, but I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I'm talking about pastors, leaders, or whatever. And that's because just so many people have, have ministered totally improperly in the name of the Lord and in the name of the prophetic. And it's, so what we want to do in everything is to stick as much as we can and completely really to the biblical guidelines. All right. To the biblical guidelines for how to do this. All right, so the question is, how do we begin? How do we begin to grow and doing this ministry? Well, by doing it. Okay. This is one place where experience is the only way. Actually doing it is the only way to learn how. And so, I've already given you the instruction, really. The instruction is three things. It's got what you say has got to be what? Strengthening, encouraging, comforting. Okay, if it's not one of those three things, don't say it. All right. So when you're ministering to somebody prophetically, the word begins by asking the Lord to give you something for that person. Okay, Lord, we're here, and one of the most significant parts of the Gospels in regard to ministering the voice of the Lord in both prayer and prophetic is Luke chapter 11. You ever want to go to one chapter of the Gospels that talk about prophetic, that talks about prayer ministry and prophetic ministry, go to Luke 11. It's just packed full of really good stuff about prayer ministry in particular, but also it touches on, it gives guidelines for prophetic ministry. So if you look on the back of the page, we had the passage there, back of page one, which would be page two. All right, so now Luke 11 begins with the Lord's Prayer. Now, then after the Lord's Prayer, it gives this, it's an interesting, I don't know whether they call it a story or a parable, but it definitely gives us a principle here. So Luke chapter 11, verse 5, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. All right, now this could be a little bit hard to follow. All right, so just realize here that there's three people being talked about here in this story, okay? Three friends. One man has a friend who's on a journey and needs something to sustain him along the way, okay? And that man who has a friend on a journey goes to a third man who's a friend in order to acquire what the man on the journey needs. Okay. Now the end result of this is that because of the audacity of the one asking, the first friend, the one who has what the journeyman needs is willing to give it to his friend, in fact, as much as needed. All right, everybody get the picture there. Three people. The first is the one who has was it, no, Jesus is telling the story, but the first is the one who's has a friend who's on a journey, but doesn't have what the friend needs.
Okay.
He goes to the third man in shameless audacity, in the middle of the night even, to ask him, say, hey, man, I need to get something for my friend who's on this journey.
So.
And the third man, because of the audacity of the first, it's not for himself, he's getting it for the sake of another. The third man, based on the audacity of the first, gives the first as much as needed to supply the needs of the second man, the man who's on the journey. Okay, right. Middle of the night, shameless audacity, it says. All right. So in this story, who's Who's representing? Who do you think where the first man represents? Us. We're the ones who go to ask. Okay. Now, who's the man in the house who has what is needed? The Lord, right? And we all have friends. The thing is, we all have friends on this journey of life who need something from Jesus, right? And so this story encourages us to be audacious in asking the Lord for what our friends on the journey need. All right, so now the promise of this story is that he, Jesus, will give as much as is needed because we have the boldness to ask for it. Okay? That's what it's talking about. We have friends on the journey of life who need something from Jesus. We in shameless audacity are to go to Jesus to ask for it and to not take no for an answer. And then Jesus will give us as much as is needed for our friend on the journey. Okay, you see the principle there. All right, now look at what comes next, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. All right, so in the con and so you know, this exhortation to ask, seek, and knock is found in other places, but in the context of Luke here, of Luke 11, what are we asking and seeking and knocking for? Is it for ourselves? No, it's for the sake of what our friends who are on the journey need. You know, now that doesn't mean that what we're asking, that asking for what we need is excluded. But here in this context, it's asking for what others need, asking the Lord for what others need. And isn't that what love requires? Putting the needs of others above our own? Asking and seeking and knocking in shameless audacity at the Lord's door for the sake of those who are our friends on the journey.
Like, great when I mean, just say, for example, when you're praying for somebody for healing and it doesn't happen, you ask, seek, and knock, and it's just someone. So, how do you put that in?
Well, you know, you have to just trust that the Lord knows what's best for them and what, you know, it's he's going to do what he's going to do. You know, I don't exclude healing or asking for anything here, but mostly what I apply this particular passage to is prophetic ministry. You know, it's, you know, in the context of prophetic ministry, when we ask the Lord for a word of encouragement for somebody else, what's he going to do? He's going to give it to us. Okay? You know, and so, you know, perhaps, you
So
know,
even though they're not healed, they're strengthened, encouraged, and comforted.
well, I, you know, no, I mean, I'm separating the two. Asking for healing or whatever is one thing. Asking for a prophetic word is another. Okay, I'm keeping this in the context of asking for a prophetic word. Okay, and we're asked for a prophetic word. He's going to give us something. All right. And so, you know, the thing is, when we ask, seek, and knock, you know, maybe we should primarily have in mind others when we're asking and seeking and knocking. Okay. Now, many streams in the church, in the church at large, you know, teach that it's dangerous to seek spiritual things of the Lord. Okay. And their argument is that in doing so, people unwittingly open themselves up to the demonic realm of spirituality. You don't want to just be spiritual, because if you try to be spiritual, you're going to open yourself up to the demonic. And there absolutely is such a thing as demonic spirituality, and we need to be aware of the fact that demons are real. They're fallen spirits who have influence over the fallen world. But the fear of the demonic should never keep us from asking the Lord for things of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's what happens when people say, don't seek out spirituality because you're opening yourself up to the demonic. And so they shut off the whole church from seeking the things of the Spirit, of the capital S Spirit. And now look at what comes next in Luke 11, verse 11. 11, 11. Which of you fathers, if you ask your son for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? All right, so snakes and scorpions are symbolic of what? Demonic. And so Jesus' point is that no father on earth will give a child who asks for a fish or an egg, will give them a snake or a scorpion. Okay? And then look what he says next, verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So what Jesus is saying there is, don't worry about seeking the God for the Spirit, being open to, opening yourself up to the demonic aspects of spirituality. No, because you come and you ask God, who knows how to give good gifts to his children. If you come and ask for the Holy Spirit, God's not going to give you the demonic. What he's going to give you is the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the gifts of the Spirit. Okay. He could, why? Because he's a good father in heaven. No father on earth, if a child asks for an egg, is going to give him a scorpion. Or an ask for bread is going to give him a snake. And God, our Father in heaven is not going to do that. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that's what we're doing when we're ministering prophetically. We're coming and asking the Lord for the ministry of the Spirit for the sake of those of the others. It's just really interesting to me how Jesus put all these together in those first few those few paragraphs of Luke 11. To lead us and to guide us in asking for the Spirit for the sake of others. Be bold, to be audacious in doing it. And so if we go to our Heavenly Father and ask for the things of the Spirit, what's he going to give us? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. All right, now look on the next page, and what I've got is this is kind of a reference sheet. Which is just important New Testament scriptures relating to prophecy. All right, we've looked at 14:31. You can all prophesy so that all may be instructed and all may be encouraged. 14:3, the guidelines for ministering prophetically, strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. 14:39, we hadn't looked at this one yet. My brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. I mean, how many of us are we eager to prophesy? We
If
should
they're
be,
in trouble.
huh?
If they're in trouble.
Right. 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:4. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. And this is all part of the context of Paul's talking about in a church meeting. He'd rather speak one word that's discernible, that's understandable, than 1,000 words that are not discernible. Okay, speaking in tongues. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. He doesn't forbid it. He'd like everybody to do that. But I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that church may be edified. The church doesn't get edified by people speaking in tongues unless it gets interpreted. But the church is edified by the people prophesying. 1 Corinthians 13:9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. I mean, realize that we're just giving a part of what we're seeing in part, and we're giving in part. And we'll talk about some more next week about how that works. All right, 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you receive to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So when we're ministering the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're ministering the grace of God. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever. Joel 2:28, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. He's prophesying that's what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit gets poured out. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Now, where was this passage quoted in the New Testament? Anybody know? Where was the Joel fascist? Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Turn the page over. I mean, Peter, when all of a sudden the Spirit gets poured out and everybody's wondering what in the world's going on, they're looking at these people thinking they're drunk. He says, "No, we're not drunk. It's only 10 in the morning. I'll tell you what's going on," Peter said. "No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." He's quoting it, that the pouring out of the Spirit. And is, in the last days, God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Romans 12, 6. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. I mean, all right, so what does that mean? Does that mean you have to wait until you have a certain level of faith before you prophesy? No. Prophesy in accordance with with their trust in doing so. But the thing is, in any aspect of ministering the voice of the Lord, it takes a measure of faith, of trusting God. And in order to actually move in trusting God, we have to put ourselves at risk. We have to risk looking foolish or whatever. We have to risk our reputation. So what the Lord wants, so what happens is if we just believe a little bit that we can hear from God and speak it to somebody else, and we do it, we have to put ourselves at risk and step out in faith in order to do it. Just give that little bit in accordance with your faith. Then guess what's going to happen once you do that? Your faith is going to increase. And it's not faith in ourselves, it's our faith in the Lord and His desire to hear, for us to hear His voice and then to minister His voice to others. Okay? Verse.
Opening our mouth, feeling.
Right. That's right. And so, yeah. So we have to step out. I mean, it's not, I mean, here, the one thing that Paul says in that First Corinthians 14 chapter, it says, the spirit of the prophets is under control of the prophets, meaning what it means by that is God doesn't take us over. And so that we're just like a mannequin, a ventriloquist dummy that the God is using, that we have no control over what we're saying. No, we do have control over what we're saying, and we have to be willing to open our mouths to speak. And then as we do, the Lord will start flowing. I mean, once you start ministering prophetically to others, I mean, God may give you just a little bit. And it's only when you open up your mouth and start speaking it, then all of a sudden you get more and you start speaking, then all of a sudden the gusher gets turned on, so to speak. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. All right, not next week, but week after next, we'll talk about how do we judge prophecy and how do we judge prophets. Because here's the thing, in the segments of the church that are open to the prophetic word, they're so open to it, they'll believe anything lots of times and without testing it, without judging it. I call it the man of God syndrome. The man of God is, who's got the prophetic anointing. You're supposed to believe everything that he says. No, we're supposed to, we don't treat what's said with contempt, but we test what is said. How do we test it? Against the person of God and against the scripture.
Test them all.
Yeah, test them all. Test all prophecies. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And then finally, Revelation 19:10. At this, I fell at the feet to worship him, and he said to me, "Don't do that. I'm just a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold on to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears the testimony of Jesus." Every prophetic utterance should bear the testimony of Jesus. And what does that mean? It should bear the character of Jesus. It should bear the love of Jesus. It should bear the mercy of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus. Yes.
I don't think it's a coincidence that, I mean, everybody, I can't think of a single person who's invited the Holy Spirit into their life that didn't is not an encourager. I mean, it seems like that's one of the first gifts and qualities that he gives you, is to be an encourager.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the basics, maybe the top ones he gives. And maybe I'm wrong. I mean, It has to be developed more for sure, but I mean, he gives you, along with the Holy Spirit, brings you all these gifts automatic. When you invite him in, a lot of stuff you didn't have before is there.
And you're saying that he wants us to be encouraged.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the first things it seems he starts with.
All these passages that we just looked at, I mean, if there's one thing to take away, it's that earnestly desire to prophesy. Why? Because the Lord wants to build up the body, and the primary gift of the Spirit that he's given us for doing so is prophetic utterance, is to word of encouragement. The Lord, people need to be encouraged, even if we're just encouraging them, just in the natural, hey, you're doing a great job, whatever. People need to be encouraged. But think how much more encouraging and how much more powerful it is if that word of encouragement is actually coming from God for the sake of the other person. I mean, there's power in that. There's strengthening in that. I mean, our faith gets built up when we know. I mean, I can't tell you how much, Catherine, when we first experienced prophetic ministry, how much it built up our faith. Just knowing that God, first of all, that God knows us like he does, but second, to for him to demonstrate that through strangers.
2 weeks ago, this lady came up to me afterwards and said, "Dr. Lutz, I spoke to me about you. I'd like to just pray for you." And it was very brief. And it was exactly what I needed and exactly what was going on. And it's so encouraging.
Well, good. I
So encouraging.
mean, that should be everyday Christianity,
Yes.
okay? I mean, I won't say it's embarrassing. I've learned not to be embarrassed by it. Catherine will go up to people at restaurants. She'll get words from somebody at a restaurant, go up, and when we're leaving, and to say, hey, and you got to learn how to do it. And it doesn't always work out well.
Yes. Well, just
But the thing is, I mean, you have to be bold, shameless audacity. Shameless. I mean, isn't that wild?
I'm
Lord
opening
tells
up.
us to come to him with shameless
Okay.
audacity,
I need
asking
to
for
keep
the
this up.
sake of others. Okay? Well, Lord, thank you that you've given us your spirit, that your heart's desire is to encourage and to build up your body. Lord, we pray for the body of your church and this community and in the world, Lord. I ask that just starting with us and minister going out, Lord, to every part of the body, we ask that you would raise us up to be encouragers, that give us confidence to hear your voice and to minister your voice to others, to encourage and strengthen and comfort them, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you speak to us, and Lord, help just give us that passion in our hearts to earnestly desire to do so. Lord, we pray all this in the awesome and the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.